Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, January 4th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the doctor's opinion. We're on page XXVII, reading the fifth full paragraph, beginning with many years ago, ending with practical application at once. We are reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Polly Q reading the text, Sherry Z reading page 164, and Hillary B is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Sherry M, and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Wednesday, January 3rd, 2024, is 21003 or 21003. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21005 or 21005. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Francis W. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. My name is Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for allowing me to do service.
Well, thank you so much, Mary Frances W. I will now ask Robin B. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, moderator. Hi, this is Robin B. I'm a compulsive overeater. And the 12 traditions are, one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based upon attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Robin B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly related to what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the doctor's opinion. We're on page XXVII. We're reading the fifth full paragraph that begins with many years ago and ends with practical application at once. We are reading and commenting on just one paragraph this morning. I will now ask Polly Q to begin reading.
Thank you, moderator, for your service. This is Polly Q, recovered in Northern California. May I be heard?
We can hear you, Polly.
Thank you. So many years ago, one of the leading contributors to this book came under our care in this hospital, and while here, he acquired some ideas which he put into practical application at once. They're talking about the 12 steps, of course, and what I wanted to understand about this paragraph is that this is written by the doctor, and doctors deal with practical information, not the frothy emotional appeal. And so I would like to talk in that manner this morning about what those steps meant. So, what Bill did was, He talked about how he had recovered from this seemingly hopeless condition, and that's what happened to me when I came into the rooms initially 20 years ago, or maybe actually I think it's probably more now, 22 years ago, and at first I applied the steps in a practical manner, but only the ones that got me through step 9. Steps 10 and 11 and 12 Well, they just sort of went out the window. I did skip over to 12 at some point, but mostly they just went out the window. And so my abstinence became this white knuckling abstinence. And I went to meetings, and I never heard the doctor's opinions in meetings. And I went to meetings for years, and lots of different ones. And so I didn't really understand how the practical application of this program worked. I knew I needed to get a food plan. I knew in order that would be that was a practical application. I knew I was powerless. You know, it was a food addiction. But as time went on, because I did not apply the other practical applications, the other steps, I just did what I had always done. And I am an addict of the hopeless variety, and eventually it wore off. So for me, I just kept trying. And I would attack it through the food. It must be the food. The food's the answer. If I could just get the food down, because I'm attending meetings, I'm not hearing how people practically apply the steps, maybe 1, 2, and 3. I would hear a lot of frothy emotional appeal about the steps, but not too much about the practical application of them. And so for me, I just thought white knuckling was the only way to do it. And of course, over time, it wore off. And then I just sort of went out after 13 years and just kind of burnt the house down. You know, I had another program too that went out the window too. And so I finally just surrendered. And then some memory of some meeting called Vision for You. I recall that, and I came into the room, and for the first time in a long time, I heard in years. Is my time up? I heard about the practical applications. So with that, I will pass. I would love to hear about how you apply the practical applications of the steps to your program. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Polly Q. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any Vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. Got lots of people on the line every morning. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. And when you hear the timer, please finish your sentence promptly so that we can give others a chance to share too. So I'm going to get a lineup. If I could get your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Laura W. from New Jersey.
Gotcha, Laura.
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Got you, Joan Marie.
Sherry M. from Wyoming.
Got you, Sherry.
Joanne P. from Pennsylvania.
I think that was Joanne P.
Yes.
Okay. Got you, Joanne.
Roxanne M.
Roxanne. Was that an M as in Mary?
Yes.
Okay. Got you, Roxanne.
Mary Z. from Los Angeles.
Sherry Z, got ya. All right, well, we'll go with this first lineup. Got a good list going here. I've got Laura W, Joan Marie M, Sherry M, Joanne P, Roxanne M, and Sherry Z. And we'll start with Laura W, followed by Joan Marie M.
Thanks, Stephanie. Hope you can hear me okay. This is Laura W. I am a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, this is a great paragraph. You know, he's talking about, Dr. Bob and Bill, and he's talking about, this is the humility that we find in Dr. Silkworth. You know, he does put his name at the end of this letter, and he is telling us that we can trust anything that this book says. And he's you know, many doctors back in the day did not understand the obsession of the mind. And Dr. Silkworth does here. And he's saying that, you know, he acquired some ideas which he put into practical application at once. There's so many words when I read this book that I really have to focus on. You know, it talks about at once, immediately. This is an action program. This is not a thinking about it program. It's telling me to do the steps. I can't just think about them or hope for them or pray about them. Praying is great, and getting on my knees and talking to my higher power is wonderful, but that is not going to keep me recovered. I need to do the steps. I need to do the work. I need to take the action steps one day at a time in order for this to work. Staying on a food plan is not the solution for me. I mean, it's part of it. It enhances my recovery, just like all the other tools, like making phone calls. But there's a practical application, which is the 12 steps. And, you know, they talk about the meetings back in the day and how they all got together in people's homes. And again, that was very, very helpful, you know. But Dr. Silkworth here realized that Bill, the man who used to be so obsessed with money and self, and proves that his personality has changed. He has had a total transformation. And what did that? Getting sober? No, not necessarily just getting sober. Working these steps and surrendering yourself to a higher power. And, you know, the food has to be down. The substance has to be down. But this, you know, this really was an honor for Dr. Silkworth to share this letter with all of us, because, you know, he realizes that he doesn't know everything. And that's why I rely on this book. I rely on what the book says. I go back to it each day, you know, page 86 through 88 on awakening. What do I do? Well, I got to think about the 24 hours ahead. And I go through that. And that's the practical application that this is talking about. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura W. from New Jersey. Next up, we've got Joan Marie M., followed by Sherry M.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Very grateful to be here and recovered by the grace and mercy of God. Well, powerful, powerful, powerful. What comes to mind is so much in this paragraph, but they believed in themselves and still more in a power that pulled chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. That's my story in a nutshell. I was a chronic overeater. I could not stop. Only a power greater than myself, who I call God, had pulled me back from the gates of death. Because I was suicidal, manic depressive, wound up in a hospital with almost died, actually. And so it's amazing. They say that there's something about this is so interesting, and some of them are amazing, divine, miracle. A miracle is something that you cannot explain. How could this be? Me, who could not stop one second from overeating, and all of a sudden now the freedom, the neutrality around food, that is nothing but by the hand of God and a power greater than myself. I'm so grateful for the vision, who taught me so much about the allergy of the body. I was trying to tell someone last night in a face-to-face meeting, but I could, about the allergy, and there was that fog, that veil that was there that she couldn't comprehend at all. And so it's good to be able to see that in a sense, because it reminds me, I don't ever want to go back to that. So what do? I do the same thing I did to get free in the first place. Call a sponsor every day at that time. Text and my food in, measure and weigh them. You know, they're tools. It's not bondage. It's just the opposite. It gives me freedom to not even think about it the next, all during the day. This is what I committed. This is what I eat. And I don't eat my alcoholic foods no matter what. No matter what, life gets lifey. But no matter what, I don't even think to do that. So I'm grateful, and thank you for everyone who's on the line. If you're new, hang in there. The miracle will happen. It's happened for thousands. God bless everyone. I pass.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Next up, we've got Sherry M., followed by Joanne P.
Good morning. My name is Sherry M., and I'm gratefully recovered in Wyoming. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for your service and everyone who's doing service on the line. I love that we're in January, and this is where we started over again in the big book, and we are on the doctor's opinion, which is all about step one. And in this paragraph, I have circled here, while Bill Wilson, he acquired some ideas. And what are those ideas? What have we learned? And reading Bill's story later on, we can learn about the ideas. So I wrote, for me, the idea that was learned was that, oh my gosh, this was not a willpower. This wasn't a problem of willpower. This was the doctor letting him know that it was something outside of any synthetic knowledge, so anything man-made that was going to be the solution, because they had tried everything else, but that there was something wrong possibly with his spiritual life, but also with his mind. This is, the ideas are that I have an allergy. I have an allergy because when I ingest certain substances, I lose control, and then I have a mental obsession that starts. And this is the malady. It doesn't matter how I got to be this way. It doesn't matter what's happening in life to make this happen. It matters that this is my truth. And I think the thing that's the hardest about Overeaters Anonymous, and the reason I say this is because I am much more likely to come across people who are in relapse in Overeaters Anonymous than I am in AA. And I think it's just much more cunning, powerful, and baffling, because we all have different ingredients, we all have different behaviors, and there's just a big, broad spectrum of this disease. But what I know is that what kept me out of the full surrender for a long time was that I was focusing on, let's say, like the 80% of the time that I could control some substances. And I wasn't looking at the fact that, did I ever lose control, and then did I ever lose control more than once? That's all I need to know that a certain substance is not going to work for me. And but I would look at all the times that I could, I was okay. And that is, death sentence for me. So I'm so grateful to know that the more I know, the less I know. I also wrote that in my big book. The more I know, the less I know. Self-knowledge avails me nothing. The more time I have, the more danger I'm in. These are some of the paradoxes. There's only one solution, and it's not man-made. It's from a human, it's from a spiritual, it's from my higher power. And my solution does not reside in my mind, because that's where the disease is. I have a disease, and I'll wrap up with this, that tells me that I don't have a disease, and I have a body that won't let me eat certain substances normally, and a mind that says you can. And that's what I'm dealing with on a daily basis. So I have a 24-hour reprieve. And that's my time. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry M. from Wyoming. And if you're just joining us, let me fill you in on where we're at. We're in the doctor's opinion. We're on page XXVII, reading the fifth full paragraph, beginning with many years ago, and ending with practical application at once. So let's see. Next up, we've got Joanne P., followed by Roxanne M.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne P. from Pennsylvania, a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. This paragraph really speaks to me, and I'm so grateful for Bill Wilson and many years ago, right? And, I have circled here at once. He put into practical application at once. I just recently had a break in my abstinence, and by the grace of God, I realized that I had to go right back at once and start all over again, because this is a do or die program, right? So we have to follow the gift that we were given in these 12 steps, these practical applications, bring to mind step 12 in particular, and how, you know, you work through all the steps and you become humble and you learn to accept. And but step 12 says to practice these principles in all our daily affairs. And so in order to survive this disease that we have, this obsession of the mind and our food allergy, we have to put into practical application the 12 steps and especially practice the principles in all our daily affairs. So by the grace of God, we surrender our life and to this wonderful program and to our higher power. And it works. It really does. There is recovery for all of us. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. Next, we have Roxanne M., followed by Sherry Z.
Hello. My name is Roxanne M., as in mother, from Iowa. Thank you for the opportunity to share. What really came to me were two parts of this. Acquired some ideas. And first, what that points to for myself is humility. You know, I even knew I have some ideas, but keeping the humility of how everyone has a newcomer in them, and to, you know, just the humility that comes with recognizing I've been working this a couple, 2.5 months or so of working this program through the 12 steps of Big Book, and I have some ideas, and I'm still what I think of as green and fragile. So I have green recovery, I guess, for today. So I'm currently with my sponsor at step 12 and doing the cycle of 10-11-12 while preparing to sponsor. But how my practical application has been suggested to reach out to newcomers. And so that is what I'm putting into action every day, is reaching out to newcomers in some way, attending a newcomer meeting or calling. And I have immense gratitude for those newcomers who have the courage and willingness to reach out. So that is a gift to me, to be able to call you and share what little piece of my acquired ideas as a new green recovered person for experience, strength, and hope. And also with that, recognizing that I will always have a green piece. And so my sponsor suggested, you know, this is part of relapse prevention. And I had an experience of being at a newcomer meeting that had no newcomers. And it was during the holidays. And I realized, yes, we are all paying attention to that fragile green part of ourselves in that newcomer within us all, that it is one day at a time. And so that's what this means. The practical application at once is attending to that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for our group here together being present.
Well, thank you so much, Roxanne M. from Iowa. Sherry Z., you're up next.
Good morning, visionaries. Thank you, Stephanie, for your service and everyone on the line. So grateful to be recovered in California. This is Sherry Z. So I'm struck by all of the paradoxes in this book. So the doctor writes, I'm going to introduce myself. I'm the medical director, and how grateful I am that I get to share on this. And then he says, you know, we doctors, we know it all. We know it all. And then we get to this paragraph where he says, many years ago, one of the leading contributors, and he begins to share that we don't know it all. Science, doctors were revered. And suddenly, Bill is sponsoring the doctor. Bill is saying, wait, you don't know it all. You don't know what you don't know. And I'm going to live this way and possibly school you. And that humility that the doctor shows and says that at the very beginning of the letter is one of the most profound messages about sponsorship. Like, my sponsor can be the most, have 55 years or she can have 5 years. You know, she has recovery and I don't know what I don't know. And so if I want to completely surrender to this program, then I have to be teachable. And what we see here is that the doctor, who's supposed to be the most educated, wise, brilliant, revered, is teachable. And I walk away from this paragraph and the question I ask myself is, am I teachable? Am I willing to learn that 95% surrender is not enough? Like, I need 100% surrender. And a lot of years in these programs, I walked around with 75% surrender, 80% surrender, thinking it was enough until the allergy and the mental twist would take hold again. And I today am seeking that 100% surrender, which is God saying to me, you must be teachable. You don't know what you don't know. And so just learn. And that's what we learn from the doctor in this paragraph. And also the irony of it is suddenly now Bill is the sponsor, what he thought was the person that was supposed to sponsor him. So with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry Z. And we're going to get another lineup. If you'd like to share on this paragraph, please let me know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Hi, Taisia. I would like to share.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear your name.
Taisia.
Taisia?
Taisia, yes.
Taisia. I'm Akisia. Sorry about that. Gotcha. And who else?
Yvonne A.
Was that Joe H?
Mo.
Mo. All right, Mo. Gotcha. Joe H.
Yvonne. Sorry, Yvonne A from BC.
Yvonne A. We'll probably get at least one more.
How about Tina on the phone? Tina from New York.
Tina, all right. And anyone else want to get in here? Okay, well, we'll go with this lineup and see how it goes. I've got Kaisia, and I'm so sorry if I'm not saying your name right, Mo H, Yvonne A, and Tina. And please let us know your last initial and where you're calling from. We'll start with Kaisia, followed by Mo H.
Okay, thank you so much. Hi, Taisia, compulsive overeater, and so grateful to be here. I don't always share on the vision meeting, but I'm so glad to be here. So this paragraph, it just has so much meaning to me when it talks about that practical application at once. And I say this because I used to believe that the practical application was, you know, doing the food plan. You know, yeah, step one, I got step one and I'm going to do the food plan and I'm going to do all the tools and I'm going to make all these calls and I'm going to do all this stuff and there's all this action I have to do and I'm taking all this practical, you know, action that I'm doing. And I would run out of steam and I would eat after a month or so. I would wear myself down. And then all of a sudden, you know, the memory of the pain that it caused, you know, and I would go through this cycle over and over and over again. And what I realized is that, you know, every time it was still me doing the work. It was still me. Even when I do like step 6 and 7, it's still me, you know, taking contrary action. I have to take, yes, God's going to take this away from me if I pray for it, but I need to take the contrary action. And what I've like completely a new understanding this time is that, oh, I need more God. I need more God. God, it's just a completely mind-blowing way of looking at it, is that I was still running the show. I was still doing everything. It was still me. And left to me, I run out of steam. So when I used to say, oh, yeah, you have to do the steps. Well, what are the steps? The steps are a way to God. And getting to God, the steps are, you know, realizing that I'm the problem
and that I need to turn it over, take a breath, ask God to remove whatever it is that's going on, and rely on Him throughout my day. If I'm wanting to eat, I used to think it was a step one problem. And now I'm realizing, oh, I think it's a step six and seven problem. I need more God. So anyway, that's it. I just wanted to share that. That's my practical application today. That's it.
Kaisia, can you let us know your last initial and where you're calling from, please?
It is S, and it's Taisia, T-A-I-S-I-Y-A, and last initial S, and I'm in Portland, Oregon.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Next up, we've got Mo H, followed by Yvonne A.
Good morning. My name is Mo H. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict in California. Okay, I'm really enjoying listening to the shares and always gaining information. So it says, many years ago, one of the leading contributors to this book came under our care. That is Bill W. He is one of the co-contributors to the book, along with Dr. Bob, when Dr. Bob came along. And while here he acquired some ideas, I believe, this is just me, that that's when he had that white light experience. And those ideas came from attending the Oxford group, which had six steps. They were shorter. I mean, it was much shorter than the 12. Bill eventually, when he sat down to write the 12, he added steps to make it clear, very clear. And then when he finished, he said, oh, 12 steps. Oh, the 12 apostles, you know, whatever. But anyway, I did not acquire those ideas when I first came in. I did not work the steps. I came in, I got a, you know, food plan, and I thought, okay, I got this diet, I'll do it. But I did not work the steps. Actually, now today, I live the steps like I needed to back then, because I saw them up on, we used to have hanging banners, and I would see them up there, the 12 steps and 12 traditions, but you know, it didn't mean much to me. And there was no studying of the big book. I don't even remember. It was just speaker shares that I remember and people sharing their experience, strength, and hope. So, you know, it wasn't until I was introduced to this book, and mainly, I mean, I had been introduced to it before, but not in the way Vision introduced it to me, by studying one paragraph at a time and just really picking it apart and meaning, you know, understanding what each word means, you know, practical application at once. You know, I dilly-dallying was not at once, and so therefore I suffered. I had many, many relapses, you know, before, you know, working the steps as it's described in the big book, following them one at a time and not skipping any. You know, I one day, you know, early on, I skipped over 2 and 3 because I thought I knew it all. No, I don't. So, you know, it's just we continue to not only work this program, but live this program in our daily, in my daily life. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much. A followed by Tina.
Good morning, everybody. This is Yvonne A from BC, Canada. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share today. I was truly blessed when I came into this program. It took me a long time to find my way here. There was one brief moment when I did attend a couple of OA meetings, I think, when I was probably in my early 30s, and I just thought, these people are crazy. I don't know what they're talking about. And I went out the door, and I didn't come back for another 30 years. And so this idea that we put it into practical application at once, it's like I only get those glimpses of opportunity when I'm willing from time to time. So if I don't do this while the iron is hot, my brain is going to fall into that mental obsession of thinking that somehow, some way I can do this. I can control my food. I just need to try harder. I just need to, you know, stand on my right foot instead of my left foot. Surely something will work. And so in that moment that I went into that room, I had willingness for a short glimpse of time, but I didn't take immediate action. I spent more time thinking about how crazy the people were than to what was actually being said in the room. When I came in this time, like I say, I was truly blessed. I had no idea what a vision for you was. I had no idea that there were different kind of sects of OA. I got a sponsor by just dumb luck, really. I mean, well, I shouldn't say dumb luck, by my higher powers, graciousness to me, that introduced me to vision and to the seriousness of this malady, and into the importance of putting this program into practical application at once. The doctor's opinion was life-changing for me. Absolutely had never heard about any kind of allergy. I knew I had an obsession of the mind. I called it an addiction to food, but I didn't fully understand it. I don't know that I fully understand it now, but I understand it a lot more than I did before. And so I'm so grateful that Dr. Silkworth was willing to come forward with this letter and say, you know, there is something to this. From a medical perspective, I can tell you that this is working in people and it is making a difference. And with that, it is making a difference in my life for sure every day. And I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Yvonne A. from BC, Canada. Next up, we have Tina. And Tina, if you can let us know your last initial and where you're calling from. And if you could press star 1 to unmute, please.
I'm sorry. Tina N. from New York.
Thank you. Go for it.
Oh, okay. I've been a compulsive eater, Tina, my name, and, you know, my life. I sort of knew how to categorize it, but recently there was no getting away from the program and the steps and the principle behind all of this when everything falls apart, and so do you. So I thought, oh, let me try that recovery program again. And I'm telling you, I mean, I was, like, you know, talking about 30 years ago that I used to do this and then just lived my life and forgot all about it. But this surrender and acceptance are like the two main key things that just keep me going and realize, oh, my God, you know, this is really it. It's pulling me out of the doldrums of all that's happening so that I feel that sense of inner peace. And I'm boiling it down to praising God. And there's an incredible book called Power in Praise by Crothers years and years ago, and pulled it back off the shelf and shared it with a few people. And it's so wonderful because it's not only thanking God for good things, but it's thanking God for the travail and the pain, you know? And that's hard to do because you have to be happy about it, and I'm never happy about all that stuff. So I'm learning how to accept that it's God's will, and I don't understand God's will. You know, whatever he wants, accepting, okay, it's like, all right, you know better than I do, because I don't like what I see going on here, but I trust, and that's nothing I did. I was rebellious. I didn't trust. So the surrender of my thoughts and all my, you know, desires and will and all of that, which is at an issue every moment of the day, and this conscious, like, okay, God, I you take care of it. You take care. I surrender myself to you. And, boy, you know, I got to say it works. This is, God is wonderful. He just wants us to give it up and realize, and then he fills me, and he takes myself, you take me, because I'm all messed up here. And then the power from the surrender works right through me from God, and it's not me. And that's great, you know, and before it was all about me. So So, like, just the surrender. There, if anybody's interested, there's a great novena called the Surrender Novena.
I'm sorry, that would be an outside. We don't. We only.
Okay.
If I had
those chat things, I'm on the phone. I can't do it. But you know, I would just put it in there because it's a wonderful thing anyway.
Yeah,
but,
we don't. We don't do that though. Sorry.
That's okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. So it's about. I do that all the time. The surrender and the praising God, and that seems to be the main direction of. What I seem to have to do and try to do and hope to do, and you know, that's it. Thank you for letting me share. I enjoy your meeting. I listen to you all the time, and you're wonderful, all of you. I just listen. I don't usually talk.
That's time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tina Ann. And we have time for someone to do a 2-minute share. Is there anyone who'd like to take 2 minutes and close us out?
I can do that, Elizabeth.
Michelle M.
I heard someone right before Chanel T. Who was that?
Elizabeth C.
Okay, Elizabeth. Sorry, Chanel, I think Elizabeth was first. Elizabeth, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from California.
All right. Go ahead. You got 2 minutes, friend.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm a binger, compulsive overeater. So I have this job that I just face dive into the sugar. I do what everyone else is doing, and I threw my program out the window. And, you know, what I'm realizing is that the separation from my higher power is when I start sniffing like a dog. I sniff out the food, and I become like ADHD. It's my addiction that is running my life. And so my higher power doesn't leave me. I leave my higher power. I start to, he's still working on my behalf, but yet I've separated myself, and it's detrimental to my life, really, and my happiness, because I do go down into the abyss. There is that spiritual malady, that void in me that's very dark, and nothing is good from it. I become very anxious. I feel it in my blood, and it's definitely an addiction. I can feel it. And the more that I experiment with it, the more that I have to let go and realize that I have got to stay on track with my food. It's imperative. It's imperative for my life, and it's imperative for my relationship to my higher power. So the surrender aspect of it, turning it over, even my food, I didn't even know that was a possibility. And then looking at the things, the hardships that happen, because of, you know, the finance stuff and all that is a part of the experiment too, that I have to look at it in pure eyes. I have to look at it in a clean way, that it's for me. It's the good of all for me that these things are taking place, that he is working with my finances. And so I really have to keep myself clean, abstinent, and neutral about food, that it's not a big deal, that I don't need to do what everyone else does, because I have the addiction. They don't. I don't know if they do, whatever. But I have to be the example, and that's what I'm finding out.
That's kind.
New abstinence. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth C. from California. Yeah, and we will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Sherry Z, will you please read a vision for you?
Thank you, Stephanie. I'm Sherry Z, recovered in California. This is a vision for you on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.